So as David said, the reading is all of Exodus 28, and that begins on page 85 in the Church Bibles. Let Aaron your brother be brought to you from among the Israelites, with his sons Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, so they may serve me as priests. Make sacred garments for your brother Aaron to give him dignity and honor. Tell all the skilled workers to whom I have given wisdom in such matters that they are to make garments for Aaron for his consecration so that he may serve me as priest. These are the garments they are to make: a breastpiece, an ephod, a robe, a woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. They are to make these sacred garments for your brother Aaron and his sons so that they may serve me as priests. Make them using gold and blue and purple and scarlet yarn and fine linen. Make the ephod of gold and of blue and purple and scarlet yarn and of finely twisted linen, the work of skilled hands. It is to have two shoulder pieces attached to two of its corners so that it can be fastened. Its skillfully woven waistband is to be like it, of one piece with the ephod and made with gold and with blue and purple and scarlet yarn and with finely twisted linen. Take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel in the order of birth, six names on one stone and the remaining six on the other. Engrave the names of the sons of Israel on the two stones the way a gem cutter engraves a seal. Then mount the stones in gold filigree settings and fast them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel. Aaron is to bear the names on his shoulders as a memorial before the Lord. Make gold filigree settings and two braided chains of pure gold, like a rope, and attach the chains to the settings. Fashion a breastpiece for making decisions, the work of skilled hands. Make it like the ephod of gold and of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and of finely twisted linen. It is to be square, a span long, a span wide, and folded double. Then mount four rows of precious stones on it. The first row shall be carnelian, chrysolite, and beryl. The second row shall be turquoise, lapis lazuli, and emerald. The third row shall be jacinth, agate, and amethyst. The fourth row shall be topaz, onyx, and jasper. Mount them in gold filigree settings. There are to be 12 stones, one for each of the names of the sons of Israel, each engraved like a seal with the name of one of the 12 tribes. For the breastpiece, make braided chains of pure gold, like a rope. Make two gold rings for it, and fasten them to the two corners of the breastpiece. Fasten the two gold chains to the rings at the corners of the breastpiece, and the other ends of the chains to the two settings, attaching them to the shoulder pieces of the ephod at the front. Make two gold rings and attach them to the other two corners of the breastpiece on the inside edge next to the ephod. Make two more gold rings and attach them to the bottom of the shoulder pieces on the front of the ephod, close to the seam, just above the waistband of the ephod. The rings of the breastpiece are to be tied to the rings of the ephod with blue cord, connecting it to the waistband so that the breastpiece will not swing out from the ephod. Whenever Aaron enters the holy place, he will bear the names of the son of Israel over his heart on the breastpiece of decision, as a continuing memorial before the Lord. Also put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastpiece, so they may be over Aaron's heart whenever he enters the presence of the Lord. Thus Aaron will always bear the means of making decisions for the Israelites over his heart before the Lord. Make the robe of the ephod entirely of blue cloth, with an opening for the head in its center. There shall be a woven edge like a collar around the opening, so that it will not tear. Make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn around the hem of the robe, with gold bells between them. The gold bells and the pomegranates are to alternate round the hem of the robe. Aaron must wear it when he ministers. The sound of the bells will be heard when he enters the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, so that he will not die. Make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it as a seal, "Holy to the Lord." Fasten a blue cord to it to attach to the turban. It is to be on the front of the turban. It will be on Aaron's forehead, and he will bear the guilt involved in the sacred gifts the Israelites consecrate, whatever the gifts may be. It will be on Aaron's forehead continually, so that they will be acceptable to the Lord. Weave the tunic of fine linen, and make the turban of fine linen. The sash is to be the work of an embroiderer. Make tunics, sashes, and caps for Aaron's sons to give them dignity and honor. After you put these clothes on your brother Aaron and his sons, anoint and ordain them. Consecrate them so they may serve me as priests. Make linen undergarments as covering for the body, reaching from the waist to the thigh. Aaron and his sons must wear them whenever they enter the tent of meeting or approach the altar to minister in the holy place, so that they will not incur guilt and die. This is to be a lasting ordinance for Aaron and his descendants. I'm just going to pray for David as he comes up. Father God, we thank you for these words that we have read, hearing the instructions for the garments of your high priest. I pray that you would open our ears so that we may listen to David's preaching and understand what he is saying, and that you would open our hearts to receive your message this morning. Would you give David great wisdom and great clarity as he preaches, so that your message may be heard. Amen.
Well, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the tabernacle, and we've seen how the tabernacle itself is like God's throne room. But then, as we've been saying this morning, only the priests go into the holy place, and only the high priest can go into the most holy place once a year. And this week, we're looking at what those priests must wear and what that means. You'll have noticed just how important this is. If the priests get it wrong, they die. You see that, verse 35, verse 43? If you have your Bible, keep it open at Exodus 28, that would be helpful. If they get it wrong, they die. And so it matters to us, because this is about how anyone can possibly come into God's presence. How can sinful people have friendship with God? If you find it helpful to know what the structure is of the next 10 minutes or so, that helps you to follow. For time, we're just going to focus on Aaron as high priest. And we're going to see first that Aaron's high priestly clothes show he represents God to the people. And then we'll see the other side of that, that Aaron's high priestly clothes show he represents the people to God. And then we'll see that Jesus is our great high priest. So first of all, Aaron as high priest represents something of God to the people. And what I want us to see is that Aaron shows God's dignity and honor to the people. If you look at verse 2, that gives us the overall purpose for Aaron's clothes, his garments. It says that it's to give him dignity and honor. The ESV, another translation, has glory and beauty, which I find helpful. So it's to give him dignity and honor, glory and beauty, so he can serve. What does that look like? Well, we've seen a picture earlier. It's dazzling. Gold, I think, is mentioned 16 times. There's fine material, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen. That's also mentioned several times. It's skilled work. That's mentioned several times. A couple of examples. It's not just gold. It's gold filigree, this sort of ornately worked gold. It's not just linen. It's twisted linen. This is dazzling. And it's also dignified. Notice some of those details. Verse 28, there's this breast piece, and it's really important that that doesn't flap around from the ephod. Look at verse 32. There's a kind of woven edge to the collar to make sure that won't tear or fray. So it's dazzling and it's dignified. Well, just think with me. Where else do we see so much gold? Only in the tabernacle. And remember that the people of Israel, they don't get to go into the tabernacle. So they don't get to go in and see all of that gold and blue, that taste of God's glory and beauty. What they do get to see is Aaron, their high priest, when he goes in and out. That's when they get this glimpse of God's glory and beauty. And then we see another particular way that Aaron represents God to the people, and that is the giving of judgment using Urim and Thummim. So what's that about? Well, there are various other Bible passages that show God would give an answer to questions through his high priest using Urim and Thummim. If you're taking notes and you want to jot this down, 1 Samuel 14 is probably the most useful chapter to go to. Verses 40 to 42 are the key verses. It's described there as like casting lots. But notice here, Aaron always wears them when he goes before the presence of God. And that shows it's not about the Urim and Thummim being Aaron's judgment as high priest. It's not about it being magic. This is God's judgment for the people. He communicates through his high priest. And so that's the first point, that Aaron as high priest represents something of God to the people, and that something is glory and beauty. It's the glimpse of inside the tabernacle that they don't see otherwise. At the same time, the clothes show, and this is the more obvious point to see, isn't it, that the high priest represents the people before God. And it's not glory and beauty, it's guilt. So I want us to see now that Aaron bears people's guilt before God. The names of the tribes are engraved on the shoulder pieces of his ephod. The precious stones on his breastpiece have the same names. And this is a really fearful thing, right? Twice, we've already seen, God warns that the priests will die if they don't quite get the garments right. So how about walking into God's presence covered in the names of sinners? Who are the forefathers of Israel? Who are these people named? They're the ones who sold their brother, Joseph, into slavery and then broke their father's heart with the lie that he had been killed. And it wasn't just them. Every Israelite of every tribe was a sinner. And Aaron goes into God's presence representing all of them. That's a fearful thing. So Aaron has to approach in the right way. His robe has bells at the hem, so he can be heard going in and out of the holy place and won't die. He can't just walk in unannounced. We also see this point about the undergarments, all the priests have to wear, lest they die. But then verses 36 to 38 are key. Aaron is set apart for God as high priest to bear the guilt. You see that phrase in verse 38. He bears the guilt of the people's sacrifices. So in Leviticus 16, we read how Aaron entered the holiest place once a year to sprinkle blood, the blood of sacrifice, on the atonement cover of the ark. He goes behind the curtain once a year. And so you see, it's not the dressing in gold and blue that means Aaron can enter the holiest place. It's the blood of sacrifice. Aaron represents the people before God, and he bears their guilt. The sacrifices for sin are accepted by God because his high priest is consecrated to him. That's shown by the gold plate on his forehead. So we've seen ways that Aaron represents something of God to the people, his glory and honor and beauty. We've seen that he represents the people and bears their guilt. And I've likely given the impression that those are kind of two kinds of clothes. So Aaron's got some that show God's glory and beauty, and then he has some that show he represents sinners. Is that what it actually looks like, though? I just want to say, those two things aren't separate. They come together, and this is wonderful. So it's not as though Aaron is dressed in finery with that glory and beauty, and then there's something hidden on him somewhere that represents the people. It's not like he smuggles the sinful people into God's presence, sort of disguised with all the finery. No, those parts of his clothing that represent the people, think about what it looks like. They are the most glorious and beautiful. And they're the most conspicuous. the precious stones prominently on his chest and on his shoulders, a gold plate on his forehead. It isn't that he has glory and beauty in spite of atoning for the people. Representing sinners and atoning for their sin is the pinnacle of the high priest's glory and beauty, reflecting something of God. And that brings us to Jesus. Do you know you still need a high priest? Maybe not something we think of too much. But the good news is, the book of Hebrews, which we've already heard from a couple of times this morning, tells us we have a great high priest in Jesus. Jesus, the perfect fulfillment of Aaron. Jesus, the one who perfectly represents God to us, because he is God, the Son. Jesus, the one who perfectly represents us to God, because he truly became man. He bears all our sin and guilt and shame. As Hebrews says, he shed his own blood as our sacrifice. Our names are graven on him, and he carries us into God's presence. As the God-man, Jesus is the perfect mediator, the perfect high priest. He is the only one who can bring us to God. And let me encourage you, if you're a Christian, Jesus isn't glorious despite representing and saving you. Like the high priest who wears sinners as precious stones, even while he atones for their sin, Jesus glories in your salvation. So what does it say in Revelation 5? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. So be encouraged that Jesus doesn't have glory despite representing and saving you. He glories in it. If you want to welcome in Jesus as your great high priest, as your rescuer, as your king, you can do that today. Talk to someone here to find out more. I'd be delighted to share more about Jesus with you. Come and find me afterwards. You see, if you want friendship with the God who made you, the one who knows and loves you perfectly, then you must come through Jesus. You can't come any other way. As sinners, we can't come into the presence of a holy God and live. And Joe, even Aaron isn't good enough. We'll see in a few weeks what Aaron was up to while God was giving these instructions. We need the perfect high priest. We need Jesus to bear our guilt and to carry us in. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we worship you as our great high priest. You show us the Father, and you have humbled yourself, taking on our nature, bearing our sin on the cross. And so that we thank you that we can come through you into God's presence. We thank you that the temple curtain has been torn in two at your death. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. And we thank you that you glory in our salvation and that we will worship you forever as the Lamb who was slain. Amen.